All right.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes, ready.
Okay, then I will talk to you later.
Okay, thank you. I have my timer.
Okay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Elias. It's great to hear your voice today.
And you also.
Well, thank you. It's been a little bit, I created a little imagery here of pushing the sessions off twice, but it brought an opportunity for me to step into my own comfortability and power in providing myself some information. So it became an opportunity. So thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'd like to start just with some kind of technical stuff, if it's okay. I would like to ask the essence name, orientation, family, alignment, color, and a number of shared focuses with my son, Gregory.
And your impressions?
Ooh. I don't know why I'm not able to get many impressions here. It's almost embarrassing. I just don't seem to be able to. Might be tumult, might be gramada. I'm not sure. That's about all I can kind of gather.
You are correct. Belonging is tumult, and the alignment is gramada.
Okay.
Now, shall you venture an impression as to orientation?
I would say
common.
That was so easy the way you said that. Common. I think sometimes he seems to shift so much for me. Okay, he's common. And might I have his essence name?
One moment.
Yes.
Essence name. Kurt. K. U. R. T.
I'll be. Okay. And can you tell me how many focuses with Gregory I shared with him?
Eighty-eight.
Okay, great. Now, might I move on to my daughter? Again, I would ask her family and alignment, and she's feeling a little like more of them.
Correct.
And she feels like I don't seem to be able to. I don't seem to be able to move from there, like Elias. So if you could help me out.
Sumari.
Ah, her alignment is Sumari.
Yes.
Okay. Since she's a common also.
Yes.
And focuses with her feel rather less than Gregory. Can you help me there?
Yes. 56.
Okay. Oh, is that interesting? I thought 57 was Gregory. So something comes in, some impression. It's a little blurry, but I'll keep working on it. Thank you. And her essence name?
Essence name. Luann. L-U-A-N-N-E.
Luann. Okay. Thank you. Is this okay if I keep asking a few more people? It's fascinating to me, and it opens up volumes in terms of my understanding. Might I continue?
Yes.
Okay, great. My sister Linda came to see you. Her family was Lillian May. That she aligned.
Goodbye.
I mean, her family was Lillian May. Is her family? Is that how we say it?
Yes.
And her alignment could be also Sumari?
Yes.
Okay. And her essence name?
Essence name.
Yes.
Cammy. C A M M I.
Okay. And finally, I'll ask one more. And this is Jerry, the man I was married to before. Why do I have his essence?
Essence name.
Yes.
Fallon. F A L E N.
His orientation common?
Yes.
And he may be also Sumasi?
Yes.
And I'm feeling his alignment. That's a tough one for me, maybe. Too old? I don't know. I'm really guessing at that. I have an impression.
Zuli.
Zuli? I'll be. And with Linda, can you tell me how many shared focuses I've had? Jerry?
42.
Wow. This is very informative. Well, I can understand now, Elias, why it was very challenging to be married to this man, because we have, I guess, aside from our common Sumasi family, you know, that orientation, he's a common, I'm a soft, and, you know, how we expressed was quite different, but that's okay. All right. Elias, could I ask you the number of focuses that we may have shared together, if any at all?
33.
Oh, that's such a thrill. And then this is a little unusual, but I thought I'd ask, can you possibly give me an idea of the earliest physical manifestation on this planet? I seem to feel I've come in really in an ancient time, like 35,000 B.C. I just felt it was a very old, old thing. But maybe you can give me an idea.
I would express to you... that you incorporate your earliest manifestation in this reality approximately 26 million years previous.
Gosh. Oh, that is startling. And now I'm flabbergasted. I just haven't got a way to express how quite a different orientation that is from 35,000 B.C. So there must have been periods of other human species-like phenomena where I was a physical body here.
Yes.
Okay. And it feels like if it's 26 million years ago that the quality and configuration of the physical body consciousness would have been entirely different.
Yes.
And that the in linear time future body consciousness that I feel coming, you know, somehow in the future, or I'm being drawn to magnetically is almost a feeling. In linear time would be, again, in-body consciousness configured a little differently. Is that true?
Somewhat, yes.
Somewhat. May I ask the latest focus in physical reality in linear time?
Presently, that would be within the 36th century.
36th century AD.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you for sharing that. And we're in the 21st. Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, that's interesting. Okay. Another question I would have was, in this physical focus, I have quite an orientation toward an interest in God and mysticism and in art. And since I have about 932 physical focuses, I was just wondering how many others would have this kind of interest. Is it possible for you to give me an idea? As a mystic, for
instance. I would express that you incorporate approximately one-third
okay.
of your focuses in these types of capacities.
Okay, that's exactly what is helpful. Because it doesn't seem that I need always to go back into specific lifetimes to re-experience another focus, but it feels like they're all somehow familiar. And it becomes almost cliched, because I might hear Tibetan music and feel a strong draw there. I might feel Aborigine didgeridoo music and feel also a remembrance. It doesn't even matter what kind of music or sound it is. There's a remembrance or a recall of some kind of
yes.
interaction. Okay.
And this is not unusual for whatever exploration and interest you generate in this focus, you will automatically easily connect with other focuses, not necessarily in identifying specifically the other focuses, but you will draw from their energy, which will enhance your experience in your exploration and in your interest in this focus.
Okay, that's what's going on. That's very helpful. Okay. The whole quality of being on the telephone is entirely different than in person, I just might add. It feels like I concentrate in a different way, and that's fine. It does. It feels a little more detached, but that's fine. I wanted to ask, did I ever live around the time of Jesus in a lifetime, focused around there? And did I ever hear the voice of this individual?
Yes.
Okay. I, the reason is, the path that I follow in this time in life is really quite oriented towards some of what he transmitted in his physical life, in his awareness. So I feel touched by him, and in the last few months I feel that the Course in Miracles work that I'm doing is speaking very profoundly to me, and it's very helpful in me expanding my awareness right now.
I am acknowledging of you.
Thank you for acknowledging me. Thank you for validating that focus now of attention. I also wanted just a little validation on this. There was a period of time where every night I went to sleep, I'd have imagery about buildings where the elevators went sideways between buildings, and I interpreted this as expanding. changes sideways into expanded awareness. Is that true?
Yes, you are correct.
It was quite interesting. I never understood it. I looked up 1111 on your website, the Elias website, and I found that it pertained to being able to open up to other dimensional realities, and for 3 or 4 years, I see 1111 phenomena everywhere. And so I guess that's validation to me that's occurring. Is that correct?
Yes, you are correct.
Norm asked you a question this morning in a transcript I was reading from the past. It had to do with Planck's law, and he described a blink, or you did, you corrected a blink time for him of 5.3 times 10 to the minus 56, correct?
Yes.
All right. When I added the numerals of that, it came out to an 11, and when I looked at a unit of measure, 6.6 times 10 to the minus 34, that unit of measurement, I can't remember the unit, I think it was centimeters. Was that a correct formula for a unit of measurement, Elias?
Yes.
Well, that's interesting because that also, the numerals added to an 11. I found interesting because between the blink and the unit of measurement, at least so far, there, in numerological terms, was a kind of correspondence there, and the 1111 kind of just popped open again then conceptually, what that was. Mass was also described as 2.2 times 10 to the minus 5th grams. Is that accurate, or is that an approximation?
An approximation.
Okay, because that figure did not reach 11, and then I thought, now that's interesting. That's so interesting. Could you give me the correct formula?
I will encourage you to continue your investigation.
Okay, I will do that. I also did a little bit of investigation on a chart I once asked you about, which you explained had some basis in it being a kind of a formulation of vibrational levels, which started with vibration, moved to energy, moved to form, moved to design, moved to idea, moved to intellect, and then finally to higher consciousness. And then when I looked at that, I realized that this is just a physical reality interpretation of a range of vibration that we ascribe to consciousness. And vibration was described as C1, or just the speed of light. Higher consciousness was described as C to the 7th power. Now, higher consciousness to me would be infinite. So this chart would continue infinitely above C7. Is that correct?
Yes.
C to the 7th, and vibratorily, it would even be slower infinitely as well. Is that correct?
Yes.
So this is just a kind of, we're plucking out a little piece of a spectrum of vibration here and just viewing it in terms of human understanding.
Correct.
All right. I wanted to ask if this level of information, moving from vibration to energy to form to design, is that a correct ideation of a more refined vibration, or could this possibly be out of alignment in terms of what was put forth? Because from my intuition, it felt like C1 vibration was not the right word for it exactly. It felt like light, but I don't know that I would call that vibration. I'm not sure I would call intellect a more refined vibration than idea. So my question is this really accurate?
I would express that your impression is more accurate.
Okay. All right. So that this was just something he conveniently put on a chart. He said form was light, to the third, C to the third, whereas form is physical reality.
Yes.
B, just physical reality. And an idea would, I can't even see intellect on this chart. But anyway, I'm going to rework this and represent this to you at a later date based on some of my intuition and my ideas about what I would call these levels. But I liked his levels because they were a springboard for me to understand greater conceptualization, which made sense.
I am understanding, and that was the point.
Okay, great. That's wonderful. I do feel like there are some authors that present information which is somewhat distorted, but can be also very, very helpful. So if I take some people, for instance, in my life that I've read, two of them come to mind that present me with a little bit of a challenge. One of them is a man named Dan Winter, whose work, he's done a lot of work in conceptualizing love and bliss and so forth. Would it be possible for me to ask you, let me give you my impression first, that would be better. My impression is that his greatest contribution in terms of his work has been that there is such a phenomenon as love or bliss, and we can all reach it through maybe one of his tools or not. He makes the leap that an instrument can train you to experience, or at least give you biofeedback on a love or bliss state. So that's his contribution. It feels like some of Dan Winter's other material is off base because he says that you can lose your soul, or you can. I think there's ultimate destruction somehow for you. And in all of your material lives, I've never felt that there is anything but complete eternalness and continuity. All there really is love. And what we project continually from what we are in physical reality may not be an expression of love, but is some sort of valuable expression, just to me.
Yes, you are correct.
Okay. Right. This is important to understand because when I listen to what he says, it's very confusing. He's sort of a little confusing in his ideas.
The point with many individuals in connecting with many different avenues of information is to remember to pay attention to what resonates with you.
Okay.
And in that, recognizing that for the most part, most information,
yes,
that you will present to yourself is filtered through the beliefs of whatever individual is presenting it.
Okay. At this they do, yes.
Correct. That does not express that what they are setting forth is invalid.
Right.
But to remember to engage any form of information with your own intuition and to receive it or incorporate it in what resonates with you and not necessarily to blindly accept that whatever is being set forth is absolutely correct.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. Because from my intuitional experiences and from what I study in this course in miracles, which presented me with a little difficulty too, because it is a belief system, a curriculum, the core experiences which were a part of where I went in meditation, into the experience of what love is and the experience of bliss, once I had that knowing, the belief system all around the experience became, I could distinguish between what was for me a distortion and what wasn't. So that was helpful. You keep saying go back to your own authority.
Yes. This is ultimately important.
And again, there was another fellow who has another system, so I don't even have to go into it. I just take the material that resonates with me, and I understand that as I evolve or expand awareness and widen or broaden conscious awareness of what I am, the vaster reality of what I am, there's greater clarity about what beliefs are just limiting. It's not like there's judgment, they're bad. They just don't work anymore, that's all. They're not irrelevant.
I am understanding.
Okay, great.
And this is the point of recognizing that you are not eliminating or changing beliefs, but that you can move in the direction of accepting them, and in doing so, they are not as affecting.
Exactly. They're there, but they're just not where I'm focused.
Correct.
Okay.
Your beliefs are affecting in the most limiting manner when you are opposing them.
Oh, yes.
Therefore, if you are not opposing them, if you are merely acknowledging them, they incorporate less importance,
right,
which allows you more freedom and less obstacles.
Exactly, exactly. I get that. I can't always achieve that awareness. I drift off that awareness and then move back to the awareness of that. Away from it. I found that there's a kind of shortcut which occurs, and I equate Holy Spirit and essence now as one of the same in doing the work that I'm doing, because as you said, where you are, there is no differentiation in consciousness. So that came in, even though my friends and I give a label to this area of focus, Holy Spirit or Elias, for instance. It's really an area of consciousness where we focus or attune. There really is no distinction.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes, you are correct.
Okay. That's why I feel you with me more and more. Your presence with me is like a comfortable friend, so that even though I haven't had all this focused interaction with you, in the essence where you are, where your reality is, regional area 4, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Wherever that is, that non-place from which you are emitting energy or extending energy or projecting energy to physical reality here, there's a barrier or the how would I put it? There is a lessening of the veil. That's just the quickest way to put it.
Yes, you are correct.
Yes, and when the veil is lessened, what happens is one can, and this is what I do, I turn my attention to essence, Holy Spirit, for creating universal whole and one. And then that is the ultimate all-inclusive vibratory place. It's all white and everything drops away. It's like time collapses, physical reality collapses, problems dissolve, everything is removed, and there's this kind of vertical ascension into this complete whole beyond space place, which there's no problems there. There's nothing. And I practice that, and that's where it's at. And that seems to be in alignment with everything you talk about, Elias.
I am encouraging of you, my friend.
Right. Well, I do this practice through the day when I can remember, and then feel your loving expression, all loving expressions, which really, that's really all there is for me. Now, I ask myself, is that because of my essence, Atasa, which feels very heart and love-centered. Is that why? That is what I perceive to be the truth, and that's why I'm attracted to curriculums that speak only about love? Or is that an absolute?
It is
as an absolute.
No, it is not an absolute, but your first assessment is more accurate. It is what you resonate with in this focus. It is what is important to you in this focus. It is what you have chosen to explore, and therefore, that is what you tap into.
So there is, even within what I have just expressed, a belief system attached to it. And then my next question would be, is there a moving beyond that into a place that is an interesting place where I go, where there is quite a lack of anything, no visualization, no expression
and
consciousness, it's nothing at all. It's just nothing.
Yes, I am understanding.
It's like infinite blackness. Is that the field from which all consciousness is derived? That field? That whatever it is? Not even a field.
Yes.
It's the blink in.
Yes.
Okay. So the experience of these conceptualizations is what I'm bringing into my physical trying to work with in physical reality, for lack of a better word.
Yes.
When I go to that place of, well, what would you call that place? It isn't. It's from which we derive the conscious creating universal one whole, whatever that's called, whatever we call it, the all of consciousness, from that none of consciousness place, what would we call that? What could we call that?
That is consciousness.
Well, now, am I getting something mixed up here? I'm trying to understand something. There is all of consciousness.
Yes. But it is not a place.
Yes.
As you are aware.
Yes.
And it is not a thing, as you are aware.
So this place, which feels like the next step of accessing nothingness, which is everythingness, is void, empty, black. That too is God?
In your terms, yes.
Oh, okay. So my perception is still quite limited in terms of how I can incorporate or, and what would the word be, take in on some level this conceptualization.
It does incorporate difficulties within physical focus.
Okay.
For you incorporate such a tremendous filter in relation to physical reality and emotion that it is difficult to assimilate what you experience as consciousness. Or it does not quite fit in what you understand.
Okay, it doesn't quite fit.
You can incorporate a knowing,
yes,
but that would not necessarily be translated into language.
Okay, so that's where I have a little problem, I guess. It's not even a problem. It's just I'm aware that when I'm in this field of what in words would be pure potential, this black void, that I step into this just like the flip, the blink on, blink off, I flip into massive array of links of consciousness, vibration. So it's like blink off into no vibration, into blacking into nothingness, and blink on into the nothingness, and blink off into the consciousness. It's like a little polarity there. That's why it's a little challenging. But God includes, at this point where I am, both of those states.
Yes, I would agree.
Okay, that'll do for now. Okay. Okay, so what I do is I just be that, and then that's enough.
Yes.
Be that, simply be that. And when I be exploring that inner terrain or inner landscape, moving into these things, I get a conceptualization of what love is versus what physical manifestation is, which I spoke about before. Physical manifestation or dimensionality being a kind of constructive interference from rays of light versus love, which is unobstructed, the light which never is obstructed. So there's a little difference for me in how I view those two conditions. Would that be a possibility?
Yes, I would agree. This would be a fair interpretation.
Right, just merely a translation.
Yes.
I'm becoming aware that I am a translation mechanism of phenomena, as you're saying, which is difficult to translate.
Yes.
Words, so, getting that feeling as we're talking. I read a book, a very beautiful book, that had a strong impact on me, with my Baird Spaulding. And it was about a fellow, 100 years ago, trapped into Asia somewhere. But the personality had such a strong impact on me in terms of his lovingness and what he transmitted in the words. So I would ask, is there a part of me that has been associated with this individual as a counterpart?
Yes. You do incorporate the counterpart action with this individual.
Okay. So when I'm reading something and it's touching me, there's a counterpart action.
It is very likely, yes.
Okay. And there can be infinite counterpart actions to people.
Yes, you are correct.
So it's just about where counterpart there is, if we read it, in a sense.
Perhaps not. Everything.
Okay.
But
Myra, no, but
there is a considerable volume of counterpart action that occurs.
Okay, that's my feeling, is that it could be lots.
Yes.
Lots, as opposed to just three or four in a lifetime, there could be
no
several hundred thousand.
Yes, you are correct.
For that feeling. There's another individual I started reading. I kind of like his approach. Would you feel that as I'm reading and I have to choose through technical things that are not quite to my liking, but he's sort of on the right track in some of his philosophy and that?
In what capacity?
Describing life as consciousness. He wants to move science from just purely mechanistic place to a to a consciousness place.
Yes.
That's what he's driving at.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe I'll read more and present a little more about me.
Very well.
Okay. Because that's not as clear to me. Okay. We still have a little time. I'm watching the clock carefully here. So, I wanted to ask you a couple questions about the Course in Miracles, a belief system, a curriculum. It describes the great rays and the vision of God's face, which I obviously is symbolic. But in some of the conceptualizations I've had, when I read those words, I feel like those have been my experiences. Is they talk about great raise capital G, capital R. Could you tell me a little more about what might be the idea that's been transmitted to great raise?
It is symbolic of brilliance and illumination. In your terms, yes. Actually, there is an expansion of awareness, for although you are quite correct and you are quite accurate that you have never left essence, and that this has always been present in you, and also that you have, in engaging this physical reality, have moved into that oubliette and are generating your bridge in the remembrance.
Yes.
You are also expanding, for whatever experiences you are generating in this focus, those experiences have never been generated precisely in the manner that you create them ever before. Therefore, they are an expansion of consciousness.
Value in this experience.
Yes.
That is, yes. Okay, wonderful. Because in the materials of A Course in Miracles, one distortion, and I brought it up in the last session, is that there is a discounting of physical reality so heavily that it becomes challenging. It's much preferable to me to just simply view physical reality as what you're saying it is. Merely value fulfillment.
Correct.
And it does not necessarily have to carry a physical reality, a negative distortion.
No.
It's helpful in that if one can view it as negative, this is how my take on it. If I view physical reality's difficulties and problems as being cumbersome and causing trauma, and just can step away from them long enough and view another ripple effect that we spoke about earlier, a ripple effect that's much more appreciative and loving, for instance, then all of physical reality has changed completely in its quality. It becomes kind of neutral. I mean, you can create a kind of neutral interaction with it and choose the way you want to experience it. Are you following?
Yes.
So I'm kind of, in a way, and this sounds a little peculiar, outgrowing some of the distortions even in A Course in Miracles, because there's a lovingness to this world that one gains through through forgiveness and allowance and acceptance and appreciation, which is ultimately so expansive that you don't always have to see everything that the Source says and quite the way it presents. It's like a step.
Yes, I am understanding.
All right. Okay, that's great. That's very, very liberating. That's fantastic.
Which would be the same as any other source of information in your assimilation and you allowing yourself to engage what resonates with you, but not incorporating the information as absolute.
Yes.
And therefore that if you are accepting and resonating with one element of it, that does not mean that it is necessary or required for you to accept all of it.
Yes. And that, it's like, for me, it was like learning scales, like on a piano. So, you learn them, but then you can improvise and go beyond them and find your own truth with them.
Correct.
Which is larger than the scale.
Correct.
Composition. And that's what you said earlier. You said that there will be a unique perspective in value fulfillment, which is very beneficial. And that one chooses where one resonates and kind of assimilates that energetic expression and reconfigures it in a very unique way, in a unique voice.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, wow, that's been wonderful. I love all these openings. Yes, I love them. Now, I saved some a little bit for the last part of the session. It's just the challenges in physical reality that I'm having, which are related to my sister and mother and Harold. And Harold is my stepfather. He's been schizophrenic for 30 years. Give or take, and has always presented such very interesting symptoms and behaviors to all of us. And he's been quite ill for the last 2 weeks, and he was unconscious for 3 days. And I thought an impression came to me of his head where he was floating in space, and then his body appeared, and it was kind of an idealized version of what he was laying in the bed in actual physical reality. And he said that that's merely my body there, and then I'm in the vaster part of me is in great peace and great harmony and great awareness of the condition of my physical body, but that often I'm not, you know, in that physical body completely. In other words, I'm not experiencing reality like you all are around me, viewing me. That was very reassuring.
And very correct.
Okay, so that's what he's doing. It's as if he has really left body consciousness to operate on its own, and he comes in intermittently as a, you know, as Harold, and then just completely leaves, and has always been quite fragmented in physical reality. Okay. Now, my mother, she has an interesting relationship with Harold. She's very connected. And I believe it's quite fear-based, their connection. And they may have had many focuses together, I feel. And while I don't understand their intense relationship, I know I'm not part of that drama somehow. And yet, there it is, an objective reality around me. And I'm prepared that Harold just simply disengages and moves on whenever that happens for him. Mother as well. And I'm thinking that they are very fearful of stepping through this process, or whatever way we call it, disengaging, laying aside the body. And I'm not saying I don't have fear connected to all this, I do, but is that I stand at a kind of promontory when I view this, like a little distance, and it doesn't become so engaging in fear. And, I have a bigger picture, that's all. Is that the accurate noise?
Yes, I would agree.
Okay, and so their upsetness in me, or their anger sometimes, in me not identifying heavily with their fear place, is what I experience. This little, when I reconfigure their energy toward me to something a little different than what they project to me, would that be accurate?
Yes.
Okay. And I feel like they are objective imagery that I create, and yet they create their own reality as well.
Correct.
And so in this situation, I would say that I merely see myself soothing everything and just simply being present while they express whatever it is they do and what they go through. I'm always seeing these rays. I choose to see something vaster in these moments with them. I consciously attempt to move into those calmer, more illuminated, more peaceful places. And yet I find I judge and I push again. I feel some physical symptoms in myself. So,
in what manner?
I would develop a headache. I would develop a little, sleepiness. I feel a little resistance, and yet I can feel myself allowing and moving into. It's quite a journey with them. And my sister Linda has a very different view of how to handle this whole interaction with them. She's very in the medical system and believes that we have a very different view. And I believe there's a little friction there, which I move away from sometimes, or step up to her and express my truth in the moment, like my emotional state.
Let me express to you, my friend.
Yes.
If you can allow yourself to move into a genuine comfort with yourself and a genuine satisfaction with yourself, and acknowledge to yourself that your perception is just as valid as any other individual's perception, but also genuinely express to yourself that every other individual's perception is equally as valid as your own. In doing so, if you can genuinely express those factors, you will experience no necessity to defend or to
justify.
Correct. In this, you can disagree with other individuals, and you can even dislike their behavior or how they express or the choices that they engage, but you will feel no threat from that, and there will be no necessity for you to justify yourself in any manner or to defend in any manner, and it will be much easier to allow the other individuals to do what they do or to express how they do, and for you not to be bothered.
Or judging. And I understand that. And I have moments of that. And I feel everything is sweeter in that moment.
Yes.
I hit a sweet spot. Okay, good. Great. I even presented objective imagery with my dog. They all have Lyme disease or some issue, three of them. And we're coming near the end of the time, so I just wanted to say that I was able to identify with them that in the past, when I had Lyme disease, I felt like I was being attacked by the outer world in terms of parasites, you know, and that was the imagery I presented with. This time I was bitten by ticks twice, and I think I had Lyme disease once. My dogs also, I believe, have it. At least that's what the vet said. But my question is, if I am changing my inner state relative to the world, and I don't see myself as a victim, if I move into that state, I'm not likely to present myself with objective imagery of ticks anymore. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. They come and go in these moments when these events happen with my family. It's really marvelously orchestrated here by me. It is. And I would just ask, in this physical body I have now, I'm feeling no Lyme disease right now. And I just wanted to ask, is this something that you and I can share? Is there... There's been a numerous number of infections with this spirochete, and I'm not asking if I feel a clarity now there. Do you as well?
Yes.
Okay, good. So I'm trusting my intuition much more, and I'm going to...
Yes, you are, and I am acknowledging of that.
That's loving these sessions with you, and we'll see where everything goes. And I want to happily say I'm ready to end this session, my beautiful friend, and I'm under the wire. And that was real important for me, for Mary.
Very well, my dear friend. To you in great lovingness, as always.
Yes, my darling.
And in tremendous appreciation, I shall be ever present and always encouraging to you.
My enormous ocean of love to you, Eli.
Until our next meeting, my dear friend. Au revoir.
Au revoir.